Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody, from the March snowlands of Colorado. Chuck and Julie, Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
AmericasCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, one I check every day. And Dr. Julie McCallum with Denver Cynogenics.
If you got weight concerns, if you energy, if you're just not feeling your old youthful self, Julie McCallum can do amazing things. It's Denver Cynogenics.
That's right. We've got, you know what's going on? A lot to, I always say this, but there is always a lot to talk about. We're going to start off the show here in a second with our law enforcement expert, Mark Poff, talking about the George Floyd trial that's coming up. Obviously, the shooting in Boulder. We're going to have Casper Stockham on at 3:40. And then briefly want to expose some of the lies that even some of the Republicans are telling about this whole Sidney Powell court filing. It's astonishing to me. But wanted to start off, you know, we've talked about this, and I just think it's important to always, you know, truth straight up. And there are several examples lately. We see the Democrats, it's all about the message, Chuck. It's not about the facts. And it's about manipulating us, making us angry, dividing us, making us hate each other so they can seize power.
They're doing a good job with that.
And they're doing a good job. But they don't care. For the shooting in Atlanta, for instance, they're calling that a hate crime against Asians, although all of the evidence shows it absolutely was not that. Doesn't stop them, okay? In Boulder, it took them, as soon as the news came out, before anyone had any evidence of anything, they were saying it was a Trump-supporting white supremacist. And now, of course, they've all gone away when it turns out that's not true.
To be a Syrian, a person of Syrian birth.
Who hated Trump.
Who hated Trump and who had ISIS connections.
And who has serious mental health issues.
Well, no kidding.
And so,
a lot of those ISIS people did.
Yeah. And so the George Floyd thing, I think there was one example where they really used and manipulated the narrative to fuel violence in this country. And then, of course, stood by and called them peaceful protests. That was another lie. But Mark Poff, our law enforcement expert, sent me a video link. And in that video link was some information I didn't know about. And what is so awful about this is the left deliberately withheld, I guess what I would call potentially exculpatory information that could possibly have quieted the riots, maybe could have introduced some calm, some common sense. They deliberately withheld it. And
who's they, though?
Well, the prosecutor in this case. The prosecutor in this case.
No, they never do that. They never leave out exculpatory evidence, do they?
And we've got the trial now starting on Monday, and they have led this narrative that this is a slam dunk case. This white cop brutally, for no reason, murdered this poor black man. And if the trial goes, as a lot of trials against cops do go, he won't be convicted of murder. Maybe yes, maybe no, but then there's going to be more violence because they've manipulated
things. Yay, more violence.
So, Mark, why don't we go ahead and you can go ahead and unmute yourself. So first, thank you for your time, as always, and welcome to the show.
Doesn't it snow down where you live?
I live right on Monument Hill.
I just look in the background there. Just look in the background. I know it's a green screen, but...
You're in ground zero. Well, why don't you tell us about this video and why? I mean, to me, there's several reasons, and I have some sound clips that we'll play, but sort of what the general sense of it is.
Well, you know, and I think we actually even talked about this a little bit last year. When I saw the video as a retired cop of 17 years, I was a little concerned seeing him with his knee on George Floyd's neck. It just didn't seem right to me based on my training, which our technique was a little bit different. But again, like anything else, you've got to have the whole picture. And then a friend of mine, you know, a lot of my old friends will send me stuff and say, hey, Mark, what do you think of this? You know, I know you're a cop. You know, what do you think of this? And I looked at this video, and I would encourage everybody to see this video. It is so well done. It's very non-emotional, just about the facts, which is really what a trial should be about. When you see just that little clip with the officer on top of Mr. Floyd, it looks bad. Right. But when you see the whole picture, like anything else, you know, when you see the video before and even some after, you see a completely different picture of what's going on. George Floyd is resisting arrest. The bottom line is he passed a bogus 20 or a bogus bill. I think it was a 20. And the cops were there to investigate. And they said, well, he's right outside. So they go investigate. And when you see the video, I don't know which clips you're going to show, but he doesn't show him his hands.
Right.
And anyone who's been who have dealt with law enforcement in the past, and obviously George Floyd has, if you look into his history, he has got a long criminal history. Well, he doesn't show him his hands.
Yeah.
And then the officer pulls his weapon, which is completely justified. And then when you see the video of there was two other people that were actually sitting in that vehicle with Mr. Floyd, they act completely different.
Right.
In fact, when you see when he makes contact, and I thought it was humorous when he calls the cop boss, which is a term means that he's probably been in prison because that's what they call all the guards. So they just call cops boss. You know, it's like, hey, you know, and they're cool with him. They actually get out and are standing there, not handcuffed, talking to law enforcement like regular citizens, you know, should be. But because Mr. Floyd, the way that he acted, he got a little bit different response. And then he started resisting right from the beginning. And it's interesting that he says, I can't breathe when no one's really touching him.
Right.
I mean, so he's already got some medical issues from the beginning. And the guy's saying, you know, I see foam by his mouth. He admits drug use, you know, so there's problems going on there.
Well, and one of the things is, and, you know, the jury will decide whether the officers did something right or did something wrong. But to me, what's key, and so often people don't understand law enforcement techniques, but one of the things that'll be key in this trial, because I've covered these kind of trials, is was the officer, Chauvin, following his training? And in this case, he was. And I think, let me play that clip.
Although I've seen lots of what you call bad shootings, where people kind of go, well, that was my training. And you kind of go, really?
But what I'm saying is that is a defense.
So it's almost always a defense.
What I'm saying is the left has portrayed this as this open and shut case of murder.
Right.
And they've used that to fuel the violence. And they leave out the facts, right or wrong, good training, bad training, executed poorly, executed well. The bottom line is that this was an approved training. And if we could play that, because I just think that is going to matter in a trial, if it's a real trial.
Maybe or not.
But I mean, it's something that the public has not been told. If we could play the George Floyd clip number one, please, Doug.
When Officer Chauvin placed his knee on the side of Mr. Floyd's neck, it is important to note that that neck restraint is consistent with the training that all Minneapolis police officers have received from their department. That is illustrated in the training materials, and Officer Chauvin's application of that knee restraint is entirely consistent with what is taught at the Minneapolis Police Department Academy. That there are several times when Mr. Floyd raises his head off the pavement and Officer Chauvin's knee goes up with Mr. Floyd's head. This indicates that as he is using this officially approved neck restraint, Officer Chauvin was not applying brute force to Mr. Floyd's neck.
Now, we can argue about should he have responded differently when he was becoming non-responsive, and I don't want to get into that. But
why not? Why don't you want to get into that?
Because I don't want to do the trial right now, because there are other points I want to make about how the left has used that to manipulate us. And I think then, because the other thing, Mark, is that we didn't find out until much later, and actually I have to admit I didn't know at all, is he had drugs in his system, not just a little bit of drugs. He had admitted to the cop a couple of things. One, that I'd never heard this term before, hooping. Which apparently this is gross. Everybody hold on to your hats.
Exactly.
It's inserting the drugs in your fanny.
Fanny. There's the officially approved
legal term.
The legal term to get high quicker. And I think there's also some evidence that he swallowed some of the drugs that he had with him in the car, which he had done in a previous arrest. Now that could make a difference too, right?
Well, and the bottom line is the autopsy showed that he had three times the amount of fentanyl in his system to kill him.
Right.
And had this been anything else, and the coroner actually admits this, had there not been this interaction with the cops, it would have been an accidental overdose.
Right.
I mean, that's what, if they just found Floyd's body on the side of the road or in his room or whatever, and they did an autopsy, it would have been an overdose of drugs. And the key point is he didn't die from suffocation. So so Mr. Floyd died of a drug overdose. And that technique that the cop used about applying pressure, that's a standard technique. Now, the way we were learned is you don't really put it on their neck as much as their upper back, but it allows you to lean forward. If they're resisting more, you lean forward to put more weight, and then you lean back to do less. And so from seeing the video that we all saw, that one little splice, you have no idea how much pressure he's actually applying to his neck. You have no idea.
And let me play that, because there's something else I want to get at too, because we have a clip where they talk about a meeting between some of the coroner's people and the DA's office, where the DA, it's made clear to them that there was fentanyl in the system. So if we could play, Doug, the Floyd clip number two, please.
To that memorandum, the chief medical examiner offered the following assessment of Mr. Floyd's fentanyl overdose. He noted that Mr. Floyd had 11 nanograms of fentanyl per milliliter of blood. He stated, "This level of fentanyl can cause pulmonary edema. Mr. Floyd's lungs were 2 to 3 times their normal weight at autopsy. That is a fatal level of fentanyl under normal circumstances." And the medical examiner said that if Mr. Floyd had been found dead in his home or anywhere else, and there were no other contributing factors, he would conclude that it was an overdose death. Once you have the fact of the fentanyl overdose and the other findings at autopsy, then it becomes clear that it's a completely different picture.
And so, Mark, and as a cop, if somebody has, you know, you're arresting somebody, I've got to assume there's a difference between somebody who's stone cold sober and someone who is operating with a fatal dose of fentanyl in their system.
Right. I mean, because they're not going to be acting coherent, which is, if you see the whole video, you see that he's not coherent. And another thing, that the way he acted at first, during first contact, that is actually a telltale sign for cops. When people start saying, "Hey, don't shoot me," or don't whatever, you know, "I haven't done anything wrong," odds are they have. And the way he's acting, he's basically, that's why that gun comes out. And plus the fact that he's not showing his hands. I will tell you, look at the other passenger.
Yeah.
The way he's reacting gets a totally different response. They're both black.
Yes.
But they're getting they get completely different responses from law enforcement. One's treated one way and one's treated another. It's why? Because Mr. Floyd is resisting. He's
yes.
not cooperating with law enforcement instructions. And then the closer he gets, this is a thing I've seen numerous times before when arresting people, the closer you get them to jail, the more they start resisting. So as you notice, as he's getting closer and closer to the back of the cruiser, and he knows once those doors are shut in the back of a cruiser, he's not getting out until he's at jail. He knows what he did was wrong, if he's even thinking straight at this point.
Right.
And they try to present from the beginning that they're the ones who yanked him out of the back for some reason, yanked him out of the back of this cruiser and put him on the ground. He's actually asking them, you know, to not put me, just let me lay on the ground.
Right.
So they're kind of actually giving him what he wants, because he won't go in the back of the cruiser.
Right. Well, and it sounds to me like a typical, and I've covered these before, sort of excited delirium. You get people who are high.
Right.
They've got complicating, you know, medical conditions. I mean, he's saying he can't breathe early on. Well, probably that's because he has, his lungs are filled with fluid, basically. Because of the drugs. And now Leo asks a good question. So why would they give him $27 million? His family makes no sense. Because
No. It makes total sense.
Exactly.
Go ahead. It makes total sense for their agenda.
Right.
This has nothing to do with police brutality or they know they have a loser case. They're trying to control the narrative, because what they're trying to do has nothing to do with a little event in Minneapolis. What they're trying to do is divide and conquer the United States through race. They're trying to convince individuals that the whites, you know, the Democrats are doing this and they're controlling this. And the attorney general is controlling this. Ellis, I think, is his name.
Right.
And they have an agenda. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to influence the jury. And here's the problem, the ultimate problem of all of this. I don't think this should even go to a trial, but if it does, they need a fair trial. They're not going to get a fair trial in Minneapolis. They know this. The judge knows this. The city knows this. Everybody knows this. The problem is the jury is going to be making a decision not on guilt or innocence. This is where they live. Do you think these people want to come out of this and say, well, I'm the one who found him not guilty? Why? Because he didn't do anything wrong. They know there's going to be riots, which is why they've thrown all this money back in. They've already got the National Guard. They got like 20 other agencies. They can't use their own agency because they all quit. So they're bringing in people from other. They've already cut the deal. The deal's been cut to get all this protection. And they know there's going to be riots because there's no way he's going to be found guilty of first or second degree murder. It's not going to happen with this evidence. That's why they brought in third degree, which is our equivalent to manslaughter, is because it's their only hope. But they're intimidating the jury. If they were to move that trial someplace else, then you'd have a jury that has no skin in the game and say, look, I can really go on the facts of the case because it's not going to be my town that's going to burn. And so what they're doing by not moving that jury is they're intimidating the jury into getting a guilty however they can. And it's the same thing about why did they give the $27 million when they did? Because they knew the jury would pick it up. They knew everybody who's sitting on that jury has heard that the city's already said he's guilty. We've given him $27
million. Well, isn't this a case like John St. Augustine, where the police get to learn how corrupt the system really is when it's imposed on them? How prosecutors hide exculpatory evidence, how they manipulate the media, how they bring charges, lesser included charges should not be allowed. If you think he's guilty of first degree murder, then bring first degree. But don't allow him just to go down a laundry list till they finally get one they like.
Littering.
It's a typical prosecutization of the law, which is when the prosecutors have taken over everything. And if you get caught in the system, like John St. Augustine was, you find out, wait a minute, this is a corrupt system.
Well, you have an officer who followed policy and procedures to the letter. You have four. I think they dropped the charges on one, but they at first, I think it was four. And then now it's three, if I remember right. These guys are all following procedures. One guy, it was like his second or third day on the job.
Well, the two of them, you should not have charged anything. And if anything, it should have been a manslaughter charge brought. And jury can decide that, but not overcharge and just hope you get lucky with a jury. Well, because anybody who's had any experience with a jury knows they can do anything.
But here's the point, though, and I'm going to play this third clip because, Mark, you hit it on the head. This is their agenda. They did this on purpose. Let's go back to when this happened. The country erupted into violence. We had months.
And they loved it.
They were peaceful protests. The country was divided. It was anti-Trump. I mean, it was all, they deliberately withheld this information.
Well, this is something new.
But I'm just saying, you can't stop calling it out. And the guy in the videotape does a good job because he asks these very questions. What if we had had the full facts from the real facts, not the Democrat facts? So if we could please play the George Floyd clip number three.
In other words, this was an overdose death by any other name. And yet, even though they had received this information, which fully explained why George Floyd was having difficulty breathing, because his lungs that weighed 2 to 3 times their normal weight were filled with fluid as a result of ingesting this toxic overdose of fentanyl, that information was withheld from the defense and withheld from the rest of the world until August 25, 2020. So from May 31 to August 25, while all of the rioting and all of the disruption and the looting and so forth that was going on across this country and around the world for that matter, the prosecution in this case sat on that memorandum and withheld that information. The question then becomes, why did they keep this information to themselves? And secondly, what would have happened quite possibly if they had shared this information with the world? Would it have helped quell the anti-police outrage that has been fueled by Mr. Floyd's death?
Well, who is that anyway? You keep on showing him.
Yeah,
who is it?
Well, actually, I can't. You have to get the beginning. you got to see the whole video, and I hope you can put the link to it out there. This guy used to be a prosecutor, and he worked specifically on cases for many years. He worked on cases, police brutality cases, basically.
For the police, I think
Philadelphia, which is very ironic right now because Philadelphia is so anti-cop. And I hate to say this in the old days or whatever, but it used to be that the district attorney's office and law enforcement, it was all considered basically the judicial system in the courts or whatever. So when a cop does something that there's kind of a public outrage, the DA comes in very quickly to say, okay, here's the facts, and this is why the cops acted appropriately. In this case, that didn't meet their agenda because Ellis wants to be president. I mean, that's the bottom line here. The attorney general from that state wants to be president. And so he needs publicity. So what he does is he puts the cops out to dry by holding this evidence that this is nothing but a drug overdose. And he causes it himself. If you see the video, it's not the cops that riled him up to actually have this event. He did it himself.
Here's my problem. You said, the judiciary, well, not the judiciary, the DA and the police saw themselves as part of a one unit, and the DA would come out and explain why the police officer was innocent, regardless if he was innocent.
I'm just saying that if there was evidence to show,
that's why independent investigations are needed, because there's way too close. And here's my trouble with all this stuff. I don't think putting a knee on somebody's neck is good training. I don't care if the trainers did it. But they've gone so beyond from saying, hey, we need reforms in these systems and we need other ones. We've gone to the other side where it's just a far left agenda, and that's all they push. And the Keith Ellis is out there to push that far left one. And so they can, impose their own authoritarian state on us.
Here's what they do. I mean, look what they did. We talked about this the other day. But here's what they did with the Atlanta shooting, the shooting there, right? There are people actually flat out saying these they're hate groups, right, who are all making money off of hate, who say, well, if it wasn't racist, how come everybody he killed was Asian? Well, it's like everybody he killed wasn't Asian, right? But I mean,
that's a lie. That's a lie.
That's a flat out lie, and they don't care. Yep. And then you've got NBC saying, I mean, the whole point of a hate crime is what the person's motive was committing the crime against that person because of their race or whatever their protected status.
Which is ridiculous in of itself. Well, you kill them because he is rich and that's okay, but not because he's Asian. I mean,
but the thing is the guy flat out said, no, that wasn't why I killed them, because they were sex workers. And they say it doesn't matter what he says, that we NBC and we the left and President Biden, and we can all now go talk about Asian hate crime, that there has not been this surge of it. Somebody like the Southern Poverty Law Center just made that up. But the left goes with it.
They should call it the Southern Poverty Hate Center.
The Boulder thing, you were looking at the tweets there. Kamala Harris's niece is tweeting, oh, another white supremacist. And they didn't care. They didn't even try to wait for the facts. And I think just
the facts don't matter.
They have an agenda. They want to divide us. They want to stir up.
Divide and conquer.
Right.
That's all this is about, is divide and conquer, because they know, years ago, the relations with minorities was a lot better than it is now. And I've really kind of seen this firsthand. I think I've told you my wife is Asian. She was born in Taiwan, and there is some bias.
You're still anti-Asian.
You're still anti-Asian.
If she doesn't make a good meal, I'm that's not the case. But the problem is, I have two boys, and they're actually the ones who are actually being biased against Asians are the liberal colleges.
Remember
that whole big scandal years ago, back, where if you said Asian, you weren't accepted, and some, what some Asians are doing is they're putting Island Pacificers or Pacific Islanders, because that doesn't hit their agenda. But so, that's the key, is they try to want to say that Republicans are the racists. It's not the Republicans. It's the liberal Democrats that are racist.
They've lived off race for 50 years.
Right.
Well, they've lived off race for 150 years.
And they don't care. And again, I think back to the George Floyd, the trial starts Monday. It's going to be 4 weeks of testimony.
It's going to go longer.
Yeah, you think? But
they're going to drag. They're going to drag this out. And go ahead. I apologize, but it's going to go on for a long time.
Until summer, till it gets hot enough to riot again.
And they're going to burn the whole city down. Then they're going to come up with some I think here's another problem. This whole case, I hate to say this about this trial, and a lot of people have said, why is it taking so long for jury selection? And this is what I tell you. I've actually been retained to help with jury selection because as an expert now, and it's very tricky when you try to pick who your jurors are, and you never get everybody you want on both sides. It never works that way. This whole case is all about jury selection because they're all looking strategically for who they want on this jury. And they're not going to get everybody that they want. This thing could be hung for weeks because,
riots there.
It's going to be crazy.
Every trial is all about jury selection. Every trial.
Well, but the problem that they have, and I think that's what's going to come out with the shooting in Atlanta, is at a certain point, people are going to, and in Boulder, there's going to be a trial. And the defense attorneys are going to do their job and bring out these facts that the Democrats have tried to sleaze over and manipulate and lie about. And so people then, are going to say, again, that's just my concern here, is a jury, if they... like you said, who knows what kind of pressure they're under. But if they were to say, hey, you know what? He was following his training. The guy had a fatal amount of fentanyl in his system, et cetera, maybe he did something wrong, but it wasn't murder. I mean, can you imagine what happens if they acquit him? That's not going to happen. And if they're hung, I mean, it's just going to be. And that, I think, is the bottom line, what the Democrats want.
And that's typically what I think is going to happen is because, like I told you, the city of Minneapolis is indirectly intimidating the jury members by everything that they're doing. So if you're sitting in that jury, you don't want a verdict. The verdict is bad. Either way, it's going to be a nightmare. So the jury hangs, and then the judge is going to say, look, we put so much time and effort into this. You guys keep, so this is going to go on for jury deliberations forever. Then God forbid that when it's over, that you're going to have some of the people on the jury saying, well, all those people wanted innocent and all, the whole thing, like you said, could blow up. That town is going to burn down again. And then they still have two or three other trials to go.
Right. Well, and again, and that's what they want, no matter what they do, because this is what I'm realizing. And that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I think we have to keep calling it out. Chuck was like, well, but this happens all the time. I'm like, you've got to find a place where you can get what we call the truth straight up. And we promise you, we have a bias in terms of our conclusion, but we will give you the facts as we can see them.
The facts we like.
Well, I mean, no.
And here's the bottom line. The bottom, there is no systemic racism in law enforcement. And they're trying to build this narrative nationwide for multiple. I think they want national police. I think they want to divide and conquer so the Republicans could never win another election. And they want people hating each other. It's to their advantage. And it's about to happen again. And you can see it coming. We're sitting here predicting it. And if you can, I don't know if you guys can actually get a link to that video out on your website.
We can do it. If you can find it, you can put it in. Maybe, I don't know if you can do this after we let you go, because we have to let you go here in a couple of minutes.
Can you
put the link up in the chat section?
And we'll let everybody know.
And then
absolutely. I will do that.
And then
I always stick around and listen anyway.
Thank you. And then I'll put it up on our website too, because it's only like 24 minutes long.
It's awesome.
I was listening and I'm like, didn't know that. And as you said, when you see this, there are things I personally think the officer did wrong. On the other hand, though, it's not the way that they portrayed it. Particularly, it's not the way they portrayed it.
I can't figure out is what the two neophyte officers did wrong.
Right.
I cannot fathom. But which is why they're not going to try him right away. They'll hope that the guilty plea for Chauvin will be enough to force the others into guilty pleas.
And yes, that I'm sure that's their plan. Hopefully this will all blow up in their face.
Well, it is.
Okay, I shouldn't be using those terms.
Sandra is saying Minneapolis is destroyed. Leo is saying, hey, this is your best appearance yet, so thank you. All right, Mark,
outstanding.
Thank you for your time. We'll get that link up. Appreciate it as always.
All right. You guys have fun.
Yeah,
all right.
And get that green screen for snow, too.
I will work on it.
All right. That was Mark Poff there. And we'll get that link and put it up. I encourage you to look at the whole thing.
Yes.
Here again. Okay. So now I want to talk about yet another twisting of the narrative. Switch gears for a little bit. The Sidney Powell thing is also annoying me.
Yes, it is.
And I've had people send me like links to the article. So Sidney Powell is being sued by, well, you explain it. You're the lawyer.
Well, she's being sued for by Dominion for libel and slander, saying that irreparable harm to their business in a libel and slander trial. You cannot sue somebody for an opinion, expresses an opinion. You can only sue when you say so-and-so is a pedophile. You make a declarative statement. And so what they're trying to do is say she must be dismissed because her statements were clearly opinions. They were not statements of fact. That doesn't mean they weren't facts. It just means she did not express them as statements of fact. And so instead of reporting that, everybody, including Peter, have gone about saying, well, no one could believe this is true. No, it's too absurd.
They're taking a line from the filing and they're cutting it in half. So they're taking a line from the filing. And even Breitbart is guilty of this, saying, what the heck? Saying Sidney Powell basically says no reasonable person would believe. And then they leave out and they're implying that no reasonable person would believe the things that she was saying about Dominion.
But that's not what the pleading actually says.
The pleading actually says no reasonable person would believe that Sidney Powell was stating these as actual facts.
She was stating
this as her opinion. And that's the whole thing. And the Washington Post just cuts that off. They just cut it in half. It's like no one reasonable person would believe the person was guilty. Not. I mean, you know, they cut off the most important part and they're trying to make it twist around again, deliberately so, to make it seem as if.
And they're good about it because Republicans always fall for it. They always assume where the article is saying is true and they go from there rather than assuming that it's false. And why is it false? Because that's really the reality.
Well, and Sandra's saying Peter is annoying me. Sandra, I mean, Peter's one of the ones who sent me a link to this. And I'm like, did you read it? Did you read the thing?
We can't attack Peter.
I'm not attacking Peter, but I'm just saying. But Peter's one of those guys who, so once again, people are taking this filing and they're manipulating it and twisting it to fit their agenda. And that's what the Democrats are doing with all kinds of things. And this is crucial. And now if you're Sidney Powell, she's between a rock and a hard place, right? She can't come out and say, no, they are facts. I mean, she's got this lawsuit case. But explain again, it's a significant distinction whether she was stating it as a fact or stating it as her opinion. And obviously,
if you say, I believe, but it's just my opinion, the election was unfair and that the machines could have been manipulated and it could have been something that was as broad as including Venezuela and other places. That's an opinion. If you say, I know it was fixed by Dominion and they were part of a cabal that included Mexico and Venezuela, that's a statement of fact. You can be sued on the latter, but not the former. And it's not hard. You're entitled to your opinion. You're not entitled to declare a company is in fact rigging votes. Knowingly rigging votes as a fact. You say, I think votes were manipulated and I think it could have possibly come from the voting machines. That's a matter of opinion and expressed as a matter of opinion.
We
have the video link, Julie.
And this is from Charlene. Yes, Mark, divide and conquer, art of war, Dems at war with the American people. Absolutely, Charlene. And if you guys want to look, and we'll put this up later because I have it at my computer. But if you're on chat, this is the link to that whole video. Like I said, it's only 24 minutes long and it goes fast. I think you should read it. But it's all part of, again, back to the Boulder thing. Look how quickly you can see the pictures now. Yesterday there were a million media people there. Today it's sort of just the local stations. And when you look on the national websites, they've dropped it. They've all moved on. Now, they're all still talking about the Asian hate crime going on.
Well, that's important because the Asians have been feeling discriminated against and they want to make sure that they become part of the minority cabal rather than with other people who are not part of the favored groups.
Right. That's right. Hey, we've got Barney online too. Hey,
Barney.
Hey, Barney. Thank you for calling.
Julie, how are you doing?
Good.
You know, Barney, you must have been reading my mind. I was almost going to text you today and say, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while. How are things going?
Well, I kind of been letting your show go because I kind of screw things up when I call sometimes, I think. But
no, you don't.
Oh, start off by saying,
I don't. Okay, well, the views of this caller do not necessarily reflect Chuck and Julie's views. So I had a little discussion with your buddy on KNUS, and he went off on the Sidney Powell thing, and he used, look, by the way, we know Randy Corcoran would like to punch me in the face just like Jesus would. So, I'm sure Randy is not a fan of mine. I actually think Randy's come a long way, and he does pretty good on the radio. And he does pretty good. Look, okay, here's the bottom line. Chuck, are you crazy?
A little. A little, yeah.
Okay. Julie, and we know Julie's a little snippy, but I don't think she's crazy. Not like me. Not like me. I'm crazy. I'll admit it. But it
well,
really
you know,
it's,
there's that song. There's that song saying about, yeah, I'm a little bit crazy, but it stopped me from going insane. I am not
That's
insane.
I've always been crazy.
Yeah.
I've always been crazy. It was Waylon Jennings. And he
wasn't
crazy.
I always said that line. I've always been a little crazy, but it stopped me from being insane.
Well, here, Bonnie, let me give you some affirmations here. Sandra is texting us saying she loves you. He does your yelling for all the rest of us. And then Leo is saying, hey, Barney, we got your six. So, you know, it's like we say, everyone's voice is welcome.
Let me say this. So your friend, the jackass on KNUS, he mouthed off about Randy and Matt Dunn. Randy is a very smart man, I believe. I believe he's a lawyer. Matt Dunn is a doctor, dentist. They're not crazy. And you know what? You know what? Okay, so then he says we want to talk about the election, and he brings up Sidney Powell. Yes, I'm a little disappointed the way that went, but now I find I've been reading false information. But regardless, when I do bring up, let me just say one thing. When the ballots were in the suitcase, okay, underneath the table.
Right.
That's not my point. My point is, the ass clown that worked for the Elections Commission that literally crapped all over his pants when the journalist brought that video to him. He literally crapped himself. So what I would say to guys like Peter, so we're crazy, Peter. I've seen, look it, they needed five cities to cheat, and they did it. I don't think I'm crazy. If I think you're crazy to think, well, first off, you think FDR, one of the biggest ass clown presidents, actually, no, FDR was a puke, was a full-fledged, fat, stinking puke, like Woodrow Wilson, but we won't talk about that. So, and this I'm going to bleed in to Dave Williams, because I know you guys like Dave Williams. And
I do.
Dave Williams
like
on the day. Okay, but I want to say this to Dave. Okay, it's real simple. By the way, I don't think Sandra is crazy, and I sure as hell don't think Ben is crazy. So what I would say to the Republicans, you assholes, you dumped Trump. You didn't support him for 1 second. You guys sat on your asses and did nothing. And so we're crazy now? No. And this is my thing, what I'd like to say to Dave Williams, because I kind of caught a little glimpse of this. You guys want to, and I don't think Peter gives a damn about the Republican Party, but if you want to save the Republicans, I'll tell you how you do it. First up, a guy like Ben and a guy like me, we could smell you stinking fakes a mile away, you rhinos. You try to push a rhino down our throat again. And by the way, your guy's buddy Brockler, that red flag thing, I think that hung his butt. You can argue with me and you disagree with all you want. The base is fed up. We're not going to take your stupid-ass Cory Gardners. We're not going to take the fake. We're not going to take the Mitt Romneys. You better give us a real candidate, and he better have passion, and he better be real, because if he's not, we're going to take his tiny whiteys off, and we're going to shove him down his throat. We're not taking the fake anymore. But the bottom line is, it really pisses me off when I'm told that you guys are basically crazy because I listen to you, because we think we got ripped off. Well, screw these people. We got ripped off. This election was a joke. By the way, Mark did really good. I love Mark. Yeah, here we go. And I mouthed off about George Floyd, but I will tell you this. My nephew was a cop at the time. He showed me the manual. That cop, there's no way a fair jury will convict him. And now, okay, hold on a minute. Don't let me go. Don't dump me.
I'll let you go. All right, Ernie.
Hang
you
on.
Got us.
So
you got
the well, hang on a minute. Peter, your friend, you just let him know we think he's a jackass. But we love you guys, and I went on way too much. Enough is enough, but I love you. You make sure you tell Peter he's a jackass. He wouldn't let me get on there long enough. He kept putting me on hold. So you could tell me to go to his show, but the SOB wouldn't let me talk. And by God, you tell Randy, you may not like me sticking up for you, but Peter gave you a cheap shot. By the way, you too, Matt Dunn. Love them both, and I love you guys. I think I'm done.
All right. Thank you.
I needed that. Yeah. I hadn't had that for a couple of weeks. No, I needed that.
Don't be a stranger. Thank you, Barney. Even here, Sandra is saying, you know, LOL, he always makes me feel better knowing that there are people like him out there. So thank you, Barney. Speaking of people who are fake and not fake, we've got one of the not fake, the real ones with us right now, Casper Stockham. Hey, Casper, go ahead and bring your, I guess you already have your mic and step up. Thank you for your time again today.
Yes. Can you guys hear me okay?
We sure can. Awesome. First, let me have folks.
Love Barney's passion.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He'd morphed into Mark Paugh for a second.
Okay,
there.
One of the things I think that I really appreciate what you're doing, so I want folks to explain to folks where you're broadcasting from, because I think you have two missions we want to talk about today, but where you're broadcasting from, I think this is important for Republicans to know about.
Yeah, so I'm coming to you from the America First Republicans podcast studio, which is in our training center. And we are training up grassroots Republicans to run for office as Republicans and win. But we're not just training them, we're supporting them as well. So our first class literally just graduated this Saturday. It's a 10-week course. This is not a Casper money deal, because we don't charge the candidates for the training. It's a nonprofit setup. And we would like donations, but right now it's a labor of love. You know, we're training up these candidates. Our goal is to train 250 by the end of the year, but I think we'll actually have more than that done. But we need to have thousands of candidates that are ready to run from school board all the way to federal office. So that's what we're doing at America First Republicans.
Yeah, and what I love about it is you do what Emerge does.
Right.
It supports its candidates, unlike the leadership program for the Rockies, which just throws them to the wind.
Exactly. And, it just takes their money.
And takes the fortune.
And it's very expensive to go through. I went through LPR, you know, and I don't regret going through, and I don't even regret paying the money. But LPR doesn't support candidates on the back end, but we do.
Right. Yeah. And that's important. Chuck mentioned Emerge. For folks who don't know what that is, that's a Democrat-run organization that finds female candidates, trains them, supports them, gets them all kinds of, I guess, resources and connections.
And in fact, they've become so successful. Yeah. We're talking to Ted Trump. He says, that's our whole party bench.
Right.
Wacky women from the left. I mean, that's
look at the councils, the state legislature. I mean, county commissioners, that's where they're doing it. And like you said, people say, well, 1,000 candidates, what are they going to run for? I'm like, city council, school board, county commissioners, county clerk, directors, you name it.
And I'm pretty sure that we're the only organization, at least here in Colorado, that is doing what we're doing. And we're doing it on a shoestring budget right now, but we need more support.
You're not the only one in this sense, because I got one of my wonderful emails from friends from the future, the Rhino of Rhino groups that trains socialists for the Republican Party. And they said they've got a new program going where they're going to train people to be socialists for Republicans.
Oh, nice. Well, we've caused them to actually up their game.
Yeah.
That's right. So here's the thing. If they come from Casper's group, vote for them.
If they come from Friends of the Future, don't vote for them. It's a socialist trying to get you to vote for them.
What about your other venture? You got a big vote coming up this Saturday, the head of the Colorado Republican Party.
And what I can't believe is with all the mudslinging, I mean, Casper, you're usually a subject of the establishment mudslinging, but this time it's not you. They're leaving you alone, at least for the moment.
Well, I think what's happening is they don't see me as a threat right now, so they're going after Christie hard. Mm-hmm. But we'll see come Saturday. I feel pretty good. I'm still making calls into the counties. I'm getting a lot of support. I just got back from Mesa and Delta County, to where we had some great meetings out there, and got some folks looking at us hard. So I think this Saturday is going to be some surprises happening.
Well, and I hope, I really am hoping that whoever comes out, because I think it'll be Gessler down and one other person, that if Christy Burton Brown doesn't win, she supports you. If you don't win, you'll support Christy Burton Brown. because last time the non-establishment candidate got up there and supported the establishment, which really
That's
lost
correct.
That person.
That's correct. Now I'd like to know how people feel about that, because I've been told, you know, that people didn't like the fact that candidates could actually do that. And I think it's actually okay. The problem was the last time it didn't go in our favor. But
well,
I think
a person who everything they said up to that point was against Steve House and Ken Buck, everything they said. And then they got up there and all of a sudden it was a 180 where they was, oh, yeah, vote for the establishment. Yeah. That's why everybody was so annoyed. If that other candidate had been an establishment person the whole time and got up and supported the establishment person, I think that would be fine. And moreover, you know, you can only influence X number of your voters. Your voters have minds of their own, and they're going to – and I would imagine 90% of your supporters are anti-establishment and won't vote for Scott Kessler no matter what you tell them.
I understand it now, and I appreciate you explaining that. I actually spoke, I guess we can mention the names, but, you know, I spoke to the individual and asked them why they did that. And I tried to get the two ladies involved in that race together. Even before the vote, I said, look, if you two ladies come together and work together, then we'll be able to beat the establishment. But they didn't like each other, so consequently, we got what we got.
Well, let me ask you, again, I'm going to give you a softball, open-ended question, but that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, is to explain why, you know, if anybody, only the Central Committee members can vote. So, you know, a lot of our listeners probably can't, but if anybody is listening, two questions. Why is this so important, and why do you want them to vote for you?
Well, it's important because our state is important, and winning elections again is important. And the reason why I got into the race is because I didn't see any game-changing ideas, concepts, or anything else happening from the other candidates. You know, I knew that Scott was going to be just the same old same. I mean, nothing's going to change if Scott gets in there.
Right.
Christie is a different story. I think she has some great ideas, but none of those candidates are actually doing these great ideas. I'm actually training candidates. This is long before running for chair. You know, we launched America First Republicans. So I'm not waiting on the establishment or the party or anybody else. This is what needs to be done. As far as outreach in the community, I've been doing that for 8 years, wanting the party to join me in those efforts. And I got chastised earlier today because I keep saying the party hasn't done anything for outreach. Well, they've done a little. You know, they've gone to Juneteenth.
They've Whoa! Gone to
Yeah, they've gone to Cinco de Mayo. But that's only a tenth of what we should be doing.
Right.
So that's the problem. We're not engaging like we should into all the arenas as far as outreach goes. And that's what makes me the candidate that can bridge that gap.
All right. Final question for you, I think, unless you have more questions, where can people find out more about you and about your organization?
Yes. So America First Republicans, we have a website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those pages. They can just look for America First Republicans and our website. And all those pages are linked to our website, which is AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. As far as my chair race, they can just go to Casper4Colorado. That's FORColorado.com. And they can get more information about my chair race. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Everything
all right,
there.
All right. Well, best of luck. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you.
I think
we're going to see some surprises this weekend, guys.
All right.
A lot of momentum building up for some surprises happening. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
All right. Thank you, Casper. Casper Stockham there. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. And this is here from Charlene. If Casper and Anil Mathai, we had him on earlier, a real grassroots passionate guy running for vice chair. Karen Shar says, I will opine that Colorado is racist. They've already turned down George Lopez or Greg Lopez. We need some color and Colorado Republicans. Stapler, Brockler, and Steve House are too lily white for me. Let the two rhinos split the vote and Casper come through with the win. And then Leo says, this is also true. Sorry, Charlene, we don't need people of color. We need honest people, whatever color they are. And which I agree with. I think we just need people of quality. And the not establishment. I think the establishment has had their chance for decades. And
all they do is take the money and divide it among themselves. I mean, maybe the new group will do that, but at least you know it's going to happen if you just have the consultants and they'll just divide the salary and send out a couple of mailers and
then
voila.
And then blame Trump. And say Trump's the reason we lost. Hey, we've got Sherry from Lakewood online one. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling up and joining Chuck and Julie. Oh, Siri just came on when I said Sherry. Hey, Sherry, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yep.
Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about when you were talking about the violence, the BLM, Antifa riots, because one thing I have not heard addressed is that the police officer is correct about trying to divide us, but there was also a real estate acquisition that benefited people from that violence. And you can listen to Catherine Austin Fitz to get that information. But most of the property that was destroyed was in what is called opportunity zones. And those are a tax shelter mechanism that helps the tech billionaires as they sell off their stock to avoid all capital gains.
Wow.
I'm sure there's
some other benefits to those riots, because then it drives the property way down that they can pick it up and they don't have to pay taxes on the stocks they sold.
You know, Sherry, you raise a good point there. I don't know about that specifically, but I do know everything shows who has made the most money off of the pandemic and the riots and this whole awful year. It's the billionaires. I believe the billionaires are taking over the country through whatever means
they can. Which is Tucker Carlson's real point. He says, you know, what the really rich want you to not notice is the incredible wealth inequality that they're building up. And they want to fool you by race and gender and everything else. And it's their way. That's why all these CEOs, you really think they really care about the woke agenda? No. They want to make sure that we keep on fighting, and that leaves them fat, dumb, and happy with their ill-gotten gains.
Nope, I think that's true. Exactly.
Hey, sure. And one other thing, on the Boulder shooting, do you realize there's been two mass shootings in less than a week right after Congress submitted two gun control bills, and Boulder's gun ban ordinance was struck down by a Boulder District Court judge on March 12th, and that made the possession, sale, or transfer of semi-automatic magazines, they were trying to get rid of all of that, and he shot it down. And then, amazing, there is a shooting. So remember this question. It came out November 14th. Why do the D's push for gun control directly after every tragic incident? And why is it so important to their agenda?
Good question. Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, I think one of the things they're pushing for is a national registry. Then they can come take it away.
Right.
I mean, the Biden administration is saying, you know, look, we shouldn't need a warrant if we need to go into protection.
What's that whole stupid Bill of Rights about? Right. Except, you know, a protection of insurrectionists. I mean, we've got to get rid of it.
Well, and again, I go back to the billionaires. I mean, I think Facebook has now become one of the top, right below Amazon, lobby groups there. I think, Chuck, you're absolutely right. I mean, their point is keep us distracted, keep us fighting with each other. It fuels the Democrat agenda. They're taking, and the Democrats are fine. Sure, we'll let you take us over as long as you keep giving us money. We don't care, and letting us do whatever. It's all, again, the Democrats, they don't care about the facts. I mean, that's become so obvious anymore.
It's not just Democrats, it's Democratic media who at least would hide their bias.
And now the
Washington Post doesn't care if it makes up quotes from Trump about a phone call that Raffensperger made, and then which was not true, and then he tried to delete the and then when the recording came out, then the Washington Post said, "Oh, we were wrong."
But they don't care. No repercussions. I mean, to caution people on this too. The FBI or everybody's quoting the New York Times, who quoted a source as saying that the Boulder shooter was known to the FBI because of their investigation involving somebody else that he was an acquaintance of. I got to tell you, I don't believe that. The New York Times says it. I'm like, maybe true, maybe not true.
No, it
Who's their source?
Yeah.
Maybe they just made that up too. It's like, and what's the context of it, right? Did his name come up because he lives next door? I mean, it's just so bogus. And everything they do, I think, is either incompetent or has an agenda. And again,
that goes for both the FBI and New York Times. They're both bogus dishonest. Yes.
Hand in hand. You look at all the bad prosecutions that were filed to further, you know, the whole hoax. Trump thing, yeah. The Russia hoax, Roger Stone. What are they doing now? So they're going after people who were at
attended free assembly. Remember that one?
Or and
you got that one too.
And how are they doing all of this?
DEA agent just attended a rally, which you can't, didn't go the, you know, didn't invade the Capitol. And of course, all the people invaded the Wisconsin. Okay, remember that? That was cool, right? Because that's Democrat.
Right.
Anyway, we're out of time, Julie. So I want to thank everybody and our guests and Markoff and having
I was going to remind people, I just get them to tell her. Okay. ChuckandJulie.com is a place to go for everything. Love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube. I want to thank Doug for manning the board today and the great folks at BBS Radio. None of this would be possible without them. Thank you to everyone who listens on Zoom. We love it when you do that. And also, if you want to catch the podcast, you can go to YouTube or Podbean. Everything linked from ChuckandJulie.com.
All right. Take care, everybody.